Yes, there is power.
Yeah.
Wonder-working power.
Yes.
Precious blood of the Lamb. Come to you this morning, giving all honor and all praise to the Almighty God, certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan and Reverend Riley in his absence, my beautiful, beautiful wife.
Thank you, God.
And my church family that is here. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is in need of a word. Speak, Lord, for
yes,
your people
God.
Are in need of a word.
Yes,
it's in times like these, Lord, when you truly know that you
yes,
need
God.
A Savior.
Yes, sir, God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, we know that you are always there, no matter how bleak it might seem, no matter how dark it may get, Lord, that we know that you are there simply when you speak a word.
Speak a word, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove, and light on me. And
yes, sir, God.
Do with me what you please, Lord God, but speak a word, Lord, for we are in need of a word.
Yes.
We call on you, Lord, because we know that we can count on you. We call on you, Lord, because you have never failed us yet.
Never. Yes, yes. We depend on you, Lord.
We call on you, Lord, because we know that you will not fail us now.
Yes, yes.
Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way in this place.
Yes, yes.
From the pulpit to the pew. Take control right now.
Control.
It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's been
thank you, God.
A trying week.
Yes. All right, yes.
In
yes,
many ways. Personally and and with all that's going on
oh, yes.
in the world now, we need a Savior.
Yes, we do, God. Thank you.
We need to know that there's someone that we can rest in.
Yes, yes, yes.
No matter what might be going on, but somebody, some place
yes.
where we can find peace, right?
Yes.
In the
yes.
midst of the storm, when it looks like everything is
yes.
out of control, a
yes,
place that
sir,
we
God.
Can rest.
Yes.
Not worry about what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
What it seems.
Jesus.
How dark it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But we know one who's got all power.
All power.
In his hand. This morning, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians.
Okay.
Let's see this, where we go this morning. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, which you know that my favorite verse is in there, and that's what we will start with. Chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Give you a second to get there. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It reads thusly: "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Mm-hmm. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes.
For it is written, mm-hmm. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Mm-hmm. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Mm-hmm. Where is the disputer of this world?
Jesus.
Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Mm-hmm. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
Mm-hmm.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified.
Yes.
Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness."
Yes.
As we continue this morning on the same super topic, which was theology of love,
mm-hmm.
we want to do a final part three of the same topic, theology of love part three.
Mm-hmm.
And the today's topic is communion, and mm-hmm. you can put a colon after that. And it's fully realizing what love is. Communion and a colon. Fully realizing what love is. And I think it's important, as I said with the last two sermons, lessons we've had,
mm-hmm.
this third one is quite important as well, because of where we are on our journey, that we need to understand this fully. So I'm going to try to probably teach more than I preach, but I'm not going to promise you either one. But fully realizing what love is, I want you to think with me this morning. We want to explore the subject of knowledge and love. And this morning we're going to be seeking real knowledge. And be careful the words that I say this morning. Just think of all of them. Because everyone I say, when I say real knowledge, it goes deeper than just what's in my head.
All right.
But real knowledge. You see, real knowledge becomes a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the song, I forget who it was, but sing, "I want to know what love is."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in that song, the person singing it is talking about another person, but saying, "I want to know what love is." Because see, love is something we throw around all the time. We really, most of us, we really think that we know what love is, and perhaps some of us do, but for the most part, we really don't understand the depths of love.
Hmm.
Love is what God gave us.
Yes.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm.
That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's love. Love is a gift. Somebody might say, so what is the gift? The gift is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Acts 2:38, Peter then said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so it's a gift. To further explain that to you, if you look at Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It goes on with joy, peace, and long-suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. The spirit of love. In 1 Corinthians 18, Paul talks about knowledge. And in his letter to the Ephesians, which was read for you this morning by Reverend Macmillan, he talks about love. And Paul, in his same first letter to the Corinthians, later on in chapter 8, although he's then teaching about food that is offered to idols, he takes that opportunity to return to a conversation about the principles of knowledge and love. New Living Translation says it this way, chapter 8, starting at verse 1, but I'm going to do the B part of it. It says, yes, we know that we all have knowledge, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church.
All right.
Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes.
All right.
If anyone thinks that he knows anything, we think we know it all, really don't know anything. The Bible says he knows nothing as he ought to know. Yet there is a knowledge that is important. That is the knowledge that God has of those who love him. So it's not so much what we know about God as it is what God knows about us.
All right.
Have you ever really thought about what love is? You hear a lot of people say, love is what love does. So what does God give to us with communion?
All right.
See, communion makes available to us the whole perfect gift of God himself. Communion gives us an opportunity to continue in his love. And for some, you may be experiencing it for the first time, but it's an opportunity to share in the love of God.
All right.
Communion represents God's gift to us. His gift is himself, the source of every gift. God's love is unconditional.
All right.
That means that it's not subject to any conditions. Wholehearted.
Yes.
He's all in. Unqualified. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. It's restricted. It's
all right.
Unreserved. It's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Complete. Total. Entire. Full. Absolute. It's unconditional. God loves you.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes in spite of you, no matter how much you might have done, God loves you. It's unconditional. It's not dependent on you. God loves you. Have you ever thought about what love is? Let me talk about love for a minute. 3 points I want you to see, and I want you to get these. You have to come back to me or call me. First of all, God gave us an aptitude for love.
Okay.
I really want to use the word instinct, but people sometimes get offended by instinct. They say that's for animals to be instinctive, but so I'm going to change it to, I'm going to use them interchangeably, but so God gave us an aptitude for love, a natural ability to do something, but it's an ability that lies asleep within you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a definition for instinct. Instinct is an inborn tendency to behave in a way characteristics of a species. The species I'm talking about is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's natural and unlearned, but it's predictable. It's inside of you. It's predictable. It can be cranked up or brought to life by some type of stimulus.
Oh, yes.
It's something that God gave us and that's inside of us. I'm going to make you think with me here for a minute. So God gave us an aptitude for love. Second point is the human example of how this aptitude for love is awakened in us in response to a stimulus. Think for a moment about your first love. Now I can bring you back in because you went to the wrong place.
First love.
In most cases, your first love was your mother.
Okay.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Mother or the motherly figure in your life was your true first love. What was it that made you love your mother? You see, like I said, you had something in you, were a child. You had something inside of you that was asleep, but it needed a stimulus to awaken it. Your mother served as that stimulus to awaken that love within you. You see, deep within, without a sign of life, was a seed or an aptitude for love. Your mother woke it up because she cared for you.
That's right.
She suffered for you.
Mm-hmm.
She fed you with her own body. Some people think that love is what you give a child.
Come on now.
But that can't be true because I've seen some people with nothing that really, 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 really love their mother. Because it was something about that mother that woke something up inside of them. Mm-hmm. And they started loving. They couldn't define what it was, but they loved their mother. You see where I'm trying to go with this?
Yes.
It's something about
Yes.
love. And then the final point is, I want you to write down that communion offers us the opportunity to come to the full realization of God's love. Put another way, that you are known or loved by God. A realization. See, a realization is a gradual or sudden understanding or comprehension of something. When you realize that God really, really, really loves me.
All right now. Yes.
When God awakens that seed inside of you because of all that he's done for you. When you look back over your life and all of the trials and tribulations that you went through, all of the things that you did that you knew you had no business doing, but yet there was a God who shined on you. He put his sun in the sky every morning and the moon at night, and he kept you going. He just kept right on caring for you. And
yes, sir.
Thank you, God.
Yes, sir.
So you came into the realization that God's love, it stirs something on the inside of me, even when I try to turn away. Something that holds on to it. Something special about that realization of God's love.
Yes.
I want to know what love is.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
1 John 4:10, the New Living Translation says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, like a baby in a mother's arms, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we cared nothing about him, but he cared everything about us. He loved us so that he woke something up on the inside.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sometimes it feels so good, this joy. I can't explain it, but it's something because of what God did. Not because I did it, but what God stirred up in me. It makes me.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah, God.
Thank you, God.
So good.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. If any of us lack the knowledge of communion, then we don't understand the love of God. Because God says, even right now, I don't really care what you've gone through or what you might have done even this week. He said, I don't care what you have done. He said, if you can just come to me like right now, I love you so much that I'm willing to forgive you and restore you. And I don't care how long somebody else has been on this road, I will restore you. And I don't care how much you've done wrong. Because my love is unconditional.
Thank you, Jesus.
It'll stir something on the inside of somebody. Love you in spite of you. God's love. You see God's love at just the right time. When we were powerless. You ever felt powerless? You felt like things were going wrong and you were not in control and didn't know what to do? If you just called on him right in the midst.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, God.
Yes, sir. Thank you, God.
It's important that we note that God's love is a love that He initiates.
Yes.
You didn't start it. God initiated it when
yes.
you were lost in
yes.
sin and didn't even know who you were. And God mm. initiated. He yes. He touches all the way. Wait. Because God so love you.
Yes.
You see, when in the end, when Jesus suffered and died for you, there was nobody there for Jesus.
All right now.
The people around cried, "Crucify him."
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Crucify him. The same ones that had laid the palms down when he came in victoriously, they said, "Crucify him."
All right.
Yes, they did. Yes.
One of his disciples betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. One that's closest to him, one closest to him, Peter. And Peter denied him three times. I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. I don't know him. And the rest of them were gone.
All right now.
But yet he loved you so.
So much, yes.
That through all of that, even his Father in heaven forsaken him. He had to forsaken him because he had to go through this for you and I.
Yes.
He had to bear our sin. And although we all turned our back because he loved us so, he hung on the cross.
Yes.
Somebody said, "Save yourself. Why don't you come down off the cross?"
Right.
But he said, "If I come down, then all of you would be lost because he so loved us."
Yes, so loved us.
Thank you,
Jesus. So loved us. Thank you.
It ought to stir something up on the inside.
Yes.
It ought to cause a boiling in your stomach.
You
say, "How could somebody love me so much and put up with so much for little old me?"
Thank you. Now that's love.
After all I've done, the times I've turned my back on him right in the midst of when he needed me, turned my back, but he loved me so. He said, "That's all right."
Yes, God. Thank you.
He so loved us.
So loved us.
So because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross, those who place their faith in him and trust in him alone for salvation are guaranteed eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The message of the cross, this is New Living Translation, and I'm going to close out here. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this lead the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish.
Yes.
Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. And the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Communion gives us the grace of love. In order to love Jesus as a friend, we need a special grace. And Jesus, in coming to us, brings this grace at the same time that he places the object of it, that is himself, in our soul. Our Lord did not ask his disciples, nor does he ask you, before the Last Supper to love him as he had loved them. He did not yet say to them, "Abide in my love." That was too hard for them then. They would not have understood. But after the Last Supper, after Jesus had died for you and died for me, after he had hung on the cross for you because he loved you so.
Yes.
Then he says to them, "Love me as a brother," intimately, with a love that is your life and the law of your life. "I will not call you servants any longer. I will call you friends." Offers us here at communion. He wants to be your friend. He said, "I want to show you what love is." He said, "Anything that you need, it's at the table this morning. Whatever you need, it's at the table this morning, because I want to be your friend. No matter what you've done or said about me, I want to be your friend." Communion, a chance to fully realize the love of God. You want to know what love is? You can find it at the table. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Father.
Thank you, Lord, for being there even when we didn't deserve you, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Thank you, Lord, for always hearing our cries.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Accepting us back, Lord, with forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying for us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity that we might be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We so love the world. He gave his only begotten Son. And we say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name we pray.